All right, hey, welcome to Speaking Millennial. I am Bill Spadia here with my co-host, Jay Black, who is much bigger than a local comic. We now know he's at least regional. And Jessica Nutt from Chasing News. Hey, guys.
Hi.
I'm a tri-county comedian.
So today's podcast, we have to, I don't even know what number this is. I go through this every time.
It's on number 12?
It's I one think. Of them. It's a podcast.
It's a podcast.
So today we have a special guest, Steve Hostetter.
Yes.
Who is not with us yet, but we are trying out our new audio.
Have we texted him, Jess?
He's been texted. We've been copied on it.
Yeah, you were on the text message.
Oh, sorry, I don't look at my text messages
Jessica,
while I'm podcasting.
That mic arm moves. Jessica's like leaning into the mic. You can move the mic to you.
Yeah, it's on that arm.
So go ahead.
I'm really thankful that we now have headphone jacks, and that's why we couldn't have Steve on last time. But
I know.
There is something that I'm like twisting it and trying to like fix it.
Does it not work right? Can you not hear us?
No.
You've got the fancy headphones.
But then it
too.
Works and then it doesn't work. Yeah.
You have the Beats headphones. Look at that. Those are beautiful.
Those are the ones that we give away. Why don't we give them away right now?
I gotta.
Why don't we do that now?
Is this one? I think that we're not reading one. This one, are we? Is this one that we're reading?
I don't know. I say we do it anyway.
Let me see.
I do want to say that we have a sponsor,
Vinny Brand.
Our friend who owns the Stress Factory in New Brunswick. And Vinny is the official comedy club / restaurant sponsor of Speaking Millennial.
It's a great place. You should go there immediately.
I will. Now, this won't drop until after I do it, but I will be on stage on Thursday doing my rewritten bit.
Yeah.
I go from the big head to, I don't know how to describe the second one without giving away a punchline. So just my awkward moment in a supermarket. And then the whole working out at 3 a.m. and my experiences with TSA. So I've got it to 10 minutes, rewritten.
Right.
Leading now with the head stuff, which I think is better.
I think so. I would agree.
Meaning physical head, Jay.
And who are you opening for?
Well, on Thursday, Sinbad.
I worked with Sinbad before. He's fantastic.
Cool, right?
He's a great comedian.
See, now the millennials don't all know Sinbad.
No, who's
that's
that?
Ridiculous. You don't know his fancy pants.
How do you not know Sinbad?
Everybody knows Sinbad.
Sounds like a character.
Well, he kind of is. He's quite a character, that's for sure. He was on a TV show called A Different World, which was on after The Cosby Show.
Oh.
I don't remember A Different World. Yeah. I never saw that.
You never saw that? It was...
No, but Sinbad's legend. I mean, he's been around for 30 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just going to give Steve a call and put it on speaker.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, but tell him that he's got to call into the line because I have the little button here that I can push.
Yeah, but I don't think this audio jack is working anyway.
Well, you can't hear? Try the other one. One behind you. There are two. We have a backup jack. So while we're getting Steve Hostetter on the line, Jay.
Yes.
Hey, Steve.
Oh, he's on.
Hey.
You want to introduce him, Jay, while we try to figure this out?
I get the time wrong. I thought it was... Oh, yeah, I did.
Yep, that's all right, Steve.
Sorry.
No problem, Steve.
Do you need a minute or...
No, I'm good.
All right. I texted you the number just now, so give us a call. Thank
you.
Bye.
All right, the listener of the podcast can now get into the whole conversation that we go through.
It's like you're opening
the
kimono
on the left,
and seeing everything.
Far left. So,
Steve Hostetter, he's a very funny comedian.
Go ahead.
He's a very funny comedian. If you don't know him from YouTube, he's a big YouTube celebrity where he made his bones with hecklers.
Still in and out.
Well, I mean, when I'm talking, it's no big deal. He made his bones, doing heckler videos where people would heckle him and he would destroy the heckler.
He's got a lot
heckler.
Of followers on YouTube.
A lot of followers on YouTube and Twitter. We've known each other for 10 years and he's one of the funniest, nicest guys I know in the business.
Is he millennial or older?
He's my age. Well, he's like a year or two younger than me.
So you're like between the millennials and me.
Yeah. So he's I would say contemporary of mine, but he's,
Is he on or did I?
All right. So I'm going to push the button. Hey, Steve.
Hey.
Oh,
hey.
Come on.
It worked wonderfully.
Hey.
Well, it's the little things in life.
Are you calling me a little thing?
See, right away. I'm heckling you, Steve. That's what I'm doing. So how you doing, Steve? Welcome. Jay, you want to introduce the great Steve Hostetter?
Steve, thank you for doing the podcast. There's no introduction necessary. If you're on the internet, you know who Steve Hostetter is. He's a great comedian, a great friend. Thank you for coming on, Steve.
I know there's no introduction needed, but can I still have one?
Oh, his name is Steve Hostetter. Steve, what's your YouTube / YouTube channel? Where would I find you on YouTube?
Just YouTube / The Hofstetter, and then I also have a gaming channel that's YouTube / Steve Hofstetter.
There you go.
And then I have
what is a gaming channel?
Yeah,
what does that
what
mean?
Is that?
I need to know what a gaming channel is.
For most people, a gaming channel is like people watch them play video games. For me, it's very different. For me, I play Grand Theft Auto, and I take like scenes from it, and I pretend that Franklin has a public access show, and I like narrate as the thug character Franklin, except he's like, "Welcome to Driving with Franklin. I'm your host, Franklin."
And I feel very connected to that because I was there in Vegas when you had just gotten your Xbox and we're working that out for the first time. I'm very excited.
I was just editing a few of them when I called.
So, Jay, Steve, how do you guys know each other?
So I was Steve's sponsor at AA.
Okay. No. Steve. Now, that would not be a stretch. I get it.
Knowing me, especially.
Does Steve know that you do not drink now?
Yeah, I think so, Steve.
Did you know that?
I do, and I have not drank for 13 years, although I didn't go to AA because I'm not a pussy.
So, all right. But why did you feel the need to stop drinking?
Because I knew that one day Jay would need me sober.
He was able to predict.
I stopped drinking because it was getting in the way, you know? I mean, when you're a comic, it's super easy to drink every single night. After shows, everybody wants to have a drink with you. You do the math, and you're just like, oh, 30 people offered to buy me a beer. I'm going to die.
Yeah, so, that's I know exactly what you're talking about, Steve. Exactly what you're talking about.
And this business is difficult enough, and so I figure any advantage I can have is what I'll take.
Now, Steve, Jay supplements it with other issues.
What do you mean?
Well, like the Wellbutrin, you got the whole thing going on.
Oh, yeah, the Wellbutrin. Well, that's the only drug I'm allowed to do is Wellbutrin. So I do that.
Right.
I do that correctly. That's an antidepressant. But other than that, I am completely free and clear of any chemical influence other than the stuff that they're putting into our food anyway.
Right.
So there's a lot of preservatives and hormones in me, but just the same amount that anybody has. So I'm feeling pretty good.
If there's one thing that people say about Jay Black, it is, man, that guy is full of hormones.
He is. You know, Steve, has he always been like this, that every time we start a conversation, within minutes, we just had one of the women who works with me on my radio show in the morning was here, and I all of a sudden, the minute I engaged my brain to listen to part of the conversation, Jay was talking about fetishes. Like, it just goes to fetishes or porn almost immediately.
So, hold on. Am I...
I'd say not every single time.
There you go. See, I have many conversations that don't wind up in porn.
Yeah, but something I said about Jay a long time ago, and I stick to, is that Jay often yes-ends himself.
Yeah, I improv with myself.
You too.
Yeah, I just keep going. And I think it comes from not having a lot of friends growing up, especially. I would just sit in a room and talk, and I'd be
is
like,
"Is that why you do this?"
Probably. I'm not sure.
This is a friend maker for Jay.
Right. That's why he had a son. So now he can like pal around with Kane all the time. Mm-hmm.
Where's Kane?
Mexico.
What?
He's on vacation with his mom. I had to stay home so I could
really?
Work. Yeah. So.
Is she texting you? Or, you know, Steve, I don't know if you know this about Jay. I'm sure you do. But every text that goes out, he copies his wife on it.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Everyone in our speaking millennial one. But like I've texted you penis shots, Bill, a lot. And I not,
we heard about the penis shot that was family.
Steve, I grateful told you about that, right?
When
I
have to get that one.
I texted
my fault that this happened?
My wiener to the entire family. Did I tell you about this?
No, there is a lot we need to catch up.
You guys, really? Maybe you should both start drinking again. I think that's
well, Steve. What happened was I was performing at the MGM. And I got there late and I wanted to take a shower. But before I could take a shower, I was like, oh, there's the golf course, the Top Golf that we play golf on.
Yeah.
I want to take a picture of that and send it to my family and go like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if we could play on this golf course? So I took a picture and I didn't realize in the reflection of the picture, my wiener was hanging out because I was about to hop in the shower. So my entire family got a picture of my wiener. Just don't look at me like that.
That's a hard sell. That's really hard to believe.
Wait, but that's what happened.
You don't do that unintentionally.
No, why would I send it intentionally to anybody?
You took the picture intentionally to be a dick pic is what?
No, well,
but here's the question, Jay.
Yes.
Caption something like, hey, I bet these holes would be hard.
No. And let me tell you something about how you, Jess, you should know that it was not set up because it was not the most flattering penis picture that I could have taken. You know, I didn't get the lighting or the angle correct.
It's like it was cold?
It was.
Is that what you're saying?
It was extraordinarily cold in Vegas.
Cold in the room.
It was Arctic level.
So wait, I'm trying to picture the scene. Now you're standing at like the big window.
I'm standing at the big window of the room, looking over the Topgolf golf pick, and I take a picture. And I send it out without even looking at it, not even realizing. And in the very faint that you, unless somebody points it out, I mean, I know this doesn't sound very flattering to me.
He's painting too many pictures in the story for me.
My friend Brian Herzlinger pointed it out. Herzlinger wrote back, like, laughing, did you Photoshop that in? Because that's hilarious. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, you don't know what I'm talking about? And I said, no. And he called me up and he was laughing so hard, he was crying. He was like, trying to explain to me that my penis was in the picture. And I've not been able to live that down for quite some time. Steve, I'll send you that picture actually.
Also, what I would just like to point out is that everyone at Topgolf could probably also see your dick.
Yeah.
Well, it's a valid point that Steve is making. Who stands naked in front of the window?
I wasn't standing naked in front of the window. I was taking
a
shower.
Thing to do, I guess.
And I was like, let me walk over and I'll take a quick pic of this, and then I'll get in the shower. That was my whole idea. I wasn't like standing naked like a pirate looking out over Topgolf going, this is my domain. I was just taking a quick pic that turned out to be a wiener shot. Very upsetting to all involved.
You know, I've played Topgolf with Jay, and a lot of his shots are wiener shots.
I was going to say, is he often naked when he gets to the course? Jay.
But I definitely I'm not going to order food next time we play.
Yeah, and I'll say this, when I'm doing a wiener shot, it's better to pull than to slice. That's for sure.
Yes, absolutely.
See what I did there? Well, everybody see what I did there?
Wow.
Is that a golf joke?
Yeah. It was a golf joke involving my wiener. I think we got to a really good place. Yeah. I think we got to a very enlightened place.
I miss you, man.
I miss you too, Steve. We got to hang out.
Yeah, absolutely. But we will at the Pete Rose Roast.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, Steve is
doing
doing
this Pete Rose Roast. August 10th is when we're doing that. And,
August 10th in Philly, and I keep forgetting to run my roast jokes at like live shows. Oh, maybe I'll do that tonight.
So, Steve, are you a big Pete Rose fan?
I'm not a Pete Rose fan at all.
But you're a baseball fan.
I'm a huge baseball fan, which is what makes this so much fun.
Yeah, see, I'm a huge Pete Rose fan.
Just individually, Pete Rose.
I think he's great.
You're still not getting invited.
I didn't get invited.
Well,
how about that, Jessica?
I would be more than happy to invite you, Bill. You should come with me to the roast. I can't control.
I'm going to invite you. Tickets start at $150.
Okay. You're welcome to get as many as you'd like.
Right. That happened at Comic Strip Live. When I did the contest for the Funniest Reporter, I said to them, I'm like, well, so how many tickets? They're like, oh, you can buy as many as you want.
And then I was like, you're paying for those, right?
Right, so I bought the tickets.
Of the chasing people that came.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to buy the tickets
stage, and I walked in, and I'm in the lobby of the Comic Strip Live Upper East Side, and the show it's a half hour from starting, and the bartender is looking, he's like, hey, do you want a drink before you go up? Like, you want to relax, you want a beer? And I'm like, no. So three times he asks me. On the third time, I'm like, all right, you know what? No problem. Charges me $12 a beer and then says, by the way, this does not count toward your two-drink minimum.
Welcome to comedy, Bill.
And then he saw your set and he charged you $14.
Right? He added a surcharge, right? It's like, oh my God, that guy sucks.
Steve, we were...
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, we saw Pete Rose together when, and you mentioned this in the jokes because I got to see your jokes, when we were at the MGM. Pete Rose was in a little plexiglass box signing autographs, right?
Yeah, he's that part of the Rose joke, that's my favorite one so far, which is I had the opportunity to meet Pete Rose at the MGM when I waited in line for his autograph for 0 minutes. the line to Starbucks was longer, but that's because Starbucks isn't as bitter.
Wow.
Yeah, it was. There's this sporting good, like sports memorabilia store at the MGM, and Pete was like in a little box in front. Yeah, and people were like, you could come. And how much was it? It was like $100 for an autograph. It was like something ridiculous.
No, I think it started at like 70 for the cheapest thing.
Really?
What was weird is, but you see that now with old timers because the young guys make so much money. But the old timers don't. I was in spring training, and I'm walking through this stadium, and there's a line. There's like five guys sitting, signing autographs, and I'm looking at them, and I'm like, "There's no fucking way," because there's no line. And it's It's Gaylord Perry, Raleigh Fingers.
How could there be Raleigh?
Yeah.
I think it was, there were three Hall of Famers there. And then, like, two other guys who are, like, well-known old-timers. And I'm just looking, I was like, there's no, I was like, I'm just going to go up and I'll buy an autograph just to talk to them for a while.
Right.
Like, no one else is there.
How much did they charge?
I think for a non-game ball, like for a non-official ball, it was $25.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
What about if you want them to sign a can of mustache wax from Raleigh Fingers?
Raleigh Fingers.
Yeah.
Well played.
Like 37.
Jessica has no idea.
No.
She doesn't understand the reference. Doesn't know who Gaylord Perry is.
Not 100% sure what baseball is. She's kind of, she has a look on her face like,
what's an old-timer?
The thing is that Gaylord Perry was able to use Raleigh Fingers' mustache wax cheap.
To scuff the ball, right?
Exactly.
Right, this is going to shock you, Steve. Right before you came on, we were talking, Bill's going to be opening for Sinbad on Thursday, and Jessica said, who's Sinbad?
Who is Sinbad?
Which is very upsetting to me personally, because I love Sinbad.
I just love Sinbad because his name is a double negative.
If you're going to sin good.
Sinbad.
Exactly. How few comics are like, there's no one named like Joe Not Don't. It's amazing.
I actually saw Joe Not Don't. He was featuring for the comedy at the Comedy Store, and he's very good. Big fan of Joe Not Don't.
Joe Not Don't.
Yeah,
very
fantastic.
Very good. Yeah, he's got a podcast.
Whoa, yeah, Jessica. What was that?
I finally fixed them. It's been bothering me this whole time.
You fixed the beats.
Yeah.
She fixed her headphones.
Somehow, we've got all kinds of bad feedback
here. I've been like sitting very still because it wasn't connected properly. It's just
so you've
fault.
Not heard a thing that Steve has said?
It's been in and out.
You heard something about Gaylord Perry and Pete Rose and
plexiglass. I heard most of it, but that's why I was sitting up so stiffly because it was like so irritating if I had shifted a little
bit.
Well,
we thought you were really serious.
Did I give you guys all a headache? I'm sorry.
Yeah,
it
hurt
a little. All you heard me say was Gaylord Sin Bad.
And my penis.
Right.
Yeah.
It's something about mustache wax. I don't know. There was something going on there.
Hey, when you're a comic, Bill, sometimes things get out of hand.
So I'm going to be with you at the Comedy Cove in Springfield.
That's right.
On Friday.
Steve, do you want to fly out and do that gig with us? It's above a steakhouse in Springfield, New Jersey. It's a really high-end gig.
At least 40 people.
At least 40. I have a gig in Ireland, so I'm going to say no.
What? I mean, cancel.
Only because it's too far.
Oh. I mean,
yeah, I get it.
It's too far.
I get it.
All right. Well, maybe next time when you're not performing in a theater in Ireland, you can come to the attic of a steakhouse and perform with me and Bill.
Steve, tell me how the heckling thing got started.
$27.
How did the heckling thing get started? People heckled you and you're like, there's money here.
No, not at all. I had no idea that it was going to work. the way it started was completely organically. I just wanted to put up clips that weren't my act because I didn't want to give away the jokes. And
right.
So I had, you know, whenever there was an outtake from a show that happened, you know, and often those are heckler clips. Every now and then it was like an ad lib rant, but often those, you know, would be a response to a heckler. I'd put it up.
New Jersey, 101.5 instant
really
weather. Heat humidity slowly moves back in as we get towards the 4th of July weekend.
We'll see
somewhat of a clearing trend out there
like
tonight. Fairly pleasant. Lows dropping
way.
Down to the upper 50s.
Had,
mainly sunny weather ahead for Wednesday, a high near 80. And Thursday, clouds increasing, warm
so.
And breezy, getting more humid.
Highs
up in the mid-80s. Friday, intervals of clouds and sun. A few scattered rain showers look possible. Highs in the upper 80s. A little cooler as we head towards the shore. I'm meteorologist Mark Thibodeau.
I was down there because I was hanging out at spring training with a couple of buddies. We're like, let's take some gigs while we're down here and, you know, try to offset the cost of the trip. And we were playing this teeny little bar in Titusville, Florida.
Was that a Comedy Zone bar? Is that?
No. This was just a completely independent. I reached out to as many music venues in the area as I could.
Right.
And I found this teeny little bar in the town that time forgot. And I mean, literally, like, this was like a Footloose town. Like they had.
Where is that? Is that the Panhandle? Where? I don't know. Where is Titusville?
Yeah, I'm not
Titusville,
sure.
Titusville is on. It's not too far from Melbourne. It's on the. It's on the east coast of Florida. About I'd say an hour or two from Orlando.
Okay.
Like just pretty much parallel to Orlando. Anyway, so. I this clip happens. I think it goes well. I don't think much of it. I said the words to my friends because I was uploading it, and it was like still uploading while we were awake. The hotel internet was crap. And so I said the words to my friends, I think this will do well. I think this will get like 10,000 views. And then we woke up, and it had 50,000 already.
Wow.
And it was just, yeah, someone had posted it to Reddit, and it took off. And then it went viral on Reddit, Facebook, and Twitter all separately. And it just became this thing. And now here I am a little over a year later. I have 150,000 more subscribers and 40 million more views. So
that's amazing.
You know, it was crazy.
And was that the one George Takei retweeted?
Actually, no. So George Takei shared a different one. So then a couple months later, there was a heckler. Once I had that, you know, viral boost, the next time a big one happened, it was so much easier for that one to go viral. So then there was one. There were two that he shared. One was, it was right before Father's Day, and this guy was being sexist in front of his kids, like in front of his daughters, and so. And I took him to task for it. And then in November, I was playing, Mohegan Sun comics at Mohegan Sun, and there was a very drunk cop in the audience who tried to start a fight with some other audience members.
Wow.
And so the social justice nature of those is that's what.
What do you mean he was being sexist in front of his kids?
I was doing a joke about how it's crazy that how much sexism there still is in the world, and he yelled out "next" in the middle of the joke.
It's still like the worst heckle.
So then I gave him like three different chances to defend and explain himself. I was like, "Is this what you mean?"
So you got to do a debate with the guy in the audience.
Yeah, I was saying like, "Is this what you mean?" And he didn't back down from it. He like tried to play it off. He's like, "Oh, I was just ordering a drink," and it's like, "There are no servers in the room. Is this what you mean?" So, like, he didn't deny it at all. And then I realized I saw that he was sitting with a table full of people, and I was like, "Are you all with him?" And I saw, and I was like, "Oh crap, are those your daughters?" And like, I started talking to the girls then, and just asking them about it, and you know, making a bunch of jokes about how the car ride's going to be awkward home. And how it was Father's Day the next day, and what a shitty dad he was.
What a charmer.
Yeah, the huge. And so that one went viral too.
How did George Takei get involved in this?
George Takei shares a ton of social media content. He has a huge Facebook page with, you know, 5 million fans or whatever it is, and so he must have seen it on some other blog that picked it up. I think the site Good is a site that picked it up first, and you know, they're pretty big. And then there's a Facebook account. There's a God Facebook account, and he shared it, which was cool.
God's got a lot of followers.
Yeah, exactly.
George Takei's a character. I met him on the Joy Behar show.
Oh wow!
When she was on Current TV. I was their token conservative Republican. That would do that show. And imagine how that worked with that group.
Takei, or you met God?
Yeah. Well, right.
Well, if God existed on Earth, he would be George Takei, probably.
Yeah.
Steve, let me ask you a question. When you're, like, do you have a way to predict now, or is it still unpredictable when something's going to go viral? I'm sure you have an idea of, like, what's going to do well, but, I mean, can you still, when you finish a clip, you still have an idea, like, well, this one's definitely going to get some traction. I mean, is there a element that you can predict at this point with the clips?
There's some of them, yes. Some of them, you know, sometimes you think they'll be bigger than others. Like, there was one where I was like, okay, this one definitely, because these two people were being loud and obnoxious, and after I quieted them down, they left. And then I found out later on stage that they skipped out on their bill, because they were in the front row, and I saw that their check was still on their table unpaid. And so they must have just skipped out on their bill.
Steve,
and
you're like a social justice warrior, is what you are.
Like a real one, because he faces people down.
He finds injustice, and he'll root it out.
I mean,
so what'd you do? Did you chase him down? What did you do to solve the bill, or did you pay it for them?
I actually said that I was going to pay it, and then this other guy, this is what made the clip amazing, this other guy in the back was like, no, I got it. And so to be funny, immediately I was like, you heard him, he got it, he's paying for it. But it was, I talked to the guy a little bit more, and it turned out he was a big fan, and he was a former bartender. So he was sensitive to people like walking out on their checks and being total classless dickbags. And he said that, you know, it was totally worth it for him to be, you know, part of a clip because he was a fan.
So and who's so, filming? It's on your phone?
No. I set up cameras in the room now. You know, I mean, at this point, I used to tape everything with like a flip camera in the back of the room.
Yeah.
Which was so great to, you know, have clips where I look like a whitewashed potato. But
well, that'll go over well in Ireland.
Yeah. That's going to work fine.
The whitewashed potato tour. So, I've now started recording everything. I have three cameras, so, you know, I can, in case a server stands in front of one or something like that, or a battery runs out, and, you know, the production quality is just getting, you know, better and better.
All right, I got to go back to Pete Rose. See, the whole time you're talking, I'm fascinated.
You're not coming.
I know. But my issue is, why do you not like Pete Rose? Like, I'm a huge fan.
I don't like... Okay, first of all, total dick. I interviewed him when I was 20 years old at a charity event, okay? It's a charity event. And the only thing he'll talk about is how much he has been wronged and you know...
He's got to take every opportunity.
It was so ridiculous. And it's like, aren't we raising money for sick children right now? And so, but he's a total dick. The way he played, like, some people are like, oh, he played so hard. And it's like, yeah. And he ended Ray Fosse's career. And
that was a clean hit. That was a clean hit.
It was a douchebag move, though.
He was blocking the plate.
But it was an all-star game. For the love of God, Bill.
You played a win. That was, I'm like, that's my guy.
Blocking the plate, you don't shoulder into someone. You don't like that.
Fosse was a big guy.
It's a different time then, but it's a damn all-star game. Like, if that were a playoff game or even a regular season game, I would give it to you. But it's an all-star game.
Yeah, we've come so full circle that they had a tie in the all-star game. So I would say maybe there's a balance between knocking Fosse over and the tie. Maybe there's somewhere in the middle.
I would agree. I mean, but would you have wanted Pete Rose in your gym class? I mean, he would have been awful playing crab soccer to win.
And not only that, but the reason he has the all-time record for hits is because he was the manager, and hitting 220, he played himself.
I played myself in Vegas.
Yeah.
Right before I took a picture at Topgolf.
Oh, man. Are there going to be any fans of Pete Rose doing this roast for him?
I'd imagine.
Here's the thing, though. As much of a non-fan I am of Pete Rose, I believe he should be in the Hall of Fame with every fiber of my being. And I have advocated that. I advocated that on Fox Sports, and I will be advocating that at the roast as well.
See, there you go. So, now we've eye to eye. You know, he already really is. If you've been to the Hall of Fame, right, there's so many records that he set. Every corner you turn, there's Pete Rose.
Yes.
He's just not officially there.
Oh, absolutely. With the amount of time that he played past his prime because he was the team's manager, he really was able to set a great deal of records.
Actually, Jessica, I know you have some thoughts on this, if you want to hop right in.
Blah, 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 sports.
One last thing about Pete Rose. I would argue him not...
Going back to it.
I would argue him not being in the Hall of Fame has done him more good post his career than being in the Hall of Fame. Because just like you said, there were so many Hall of Famers at that old-timers thing that nobody cared about.
Nobody cares.
Probably looked like the scene in The Wrestler when they're setting up the booth and nobody would come over and talk to them. Pete Rose, there's still a lot of interest, in part because he was so good, but also in part because, number one, he's such a douche, and number two, he's such a famously not in the Hall of Fame douche. See, I think people care about
him
more.
I'm also a Barry Bonds fan.
Well, you just like gigantic heads.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's about the big head, right?
You know what I think it is? Do you really like cantaloupe?
I do.
You might also like people who look like one.
That's a very good point.
It's personal.
I don't think that's personal. I think that's a very good observation of your love of cantaloupe shaped people.
Do you really though? That's like the leftover in the fruit salad.
I know.
You like it?
I do. Ugh. I go for it first. Here we get fruit salad every morning,
right,
at the station, and you go for the cantaloupe.
If you like Pete Rose and Barry Bonds.
And cantaloupe.
Opposite of the people who like the underdog. Like, the people who like the underdog like the scrappy player who might not make it. And you're like, I like the guy who cheats.
That's debatable. It's debatable in the cheating. But, you know, but Barry Bonds, think about Barry Bonds.
Wait, he was great year one. Debatable in the cheating?
Well, I mean, oh, come on. Of course. Not only that, I'll tell you why. because I think the one thing that never gets talked about is the amount of involvement the owners and the docs had with all these guys coming up. They were trying to save baseball with that, and I just don't blame Barry Bonds for it.
A lot of other people cheated. That is absolutely true. But the idea that Barry Bonds may be innocent of that is preposterous.
Yeah, I would say this too. Matters. Steve, if I just may say, from one point of view, Barry Bonds is an underdog if you're betting to see who's going to live to 60. I think his kidneys are an underdog.
He's got a big head.
The HGH grew his gigantic head even bigger.
Gigantic head. I think it's just the haircut.
My favorite thing that Barry Bonds ever did was on his reality show, on that little Bonds on Bonds thing they did on ESPN. My favorite thing is when his daughter, being very sweet, because his goldfish died, and she was like, "You could have my goldfish." And instead of him saying something like, "Oh, well, that would just make me sad because it would make me miss my goldfish and you're very sweet to offer," instead, his exact quote was, "I should just kill you right now," to a 6-year-old girl that is his daughter.
Look, tough love. He was raising her tough, Steve.
And Steve, you know,
that is true.
Just try to keep this in mind.
She's going to be fine.
Keep this in mind. He had 37 times the level of testosterone that a normal person had. So, of course, he was a ball of rage towards everyone.
And also a normal horse.
Yeah. Oh, man. Tough crowd.
This is why you don't want to go against Steve if you're a heckler. Although you should, I guess it's tough, Steve, because on the one hand, you are the best at dealing with hecklers, and you don't want anybody to you know, like anybody that stands up to you is going to get destroyed. But it's sort of the thing that you're known for, so you kind of have to hope that they do, right?
No, you know, I mean, I've done enough of these gigs, and so, you know, I'm sure so have you, to know that it's a matter of time when you're dealing with drunk people.
Yeah, they don't really think things out.
Yeah, I'm never going to run out of clips.
But do you engage all the time, or sometimes just let it go?
No, I mean, part of why I have so many of these is because I engage all the time, you know, is because when another comic might just go, yeah, shut up, or steamroll it or ignore it, like, most of my heckler clips start off with me going, "What did you say?"
But, Jay, didn't you say that most comics get themselves in big trouble because then they, like, get all these YouTube clips of them heckling someone and saying something inappropriate, even though it would have just been a joke in context?
Oh, we were talking about the Daniel Tosh thing where he had the heckler and he said, you know, he offhandedly made a remark. I would say two things to this. One, most comics are not as in control as Steve is. I don't think besides, I don't think you'd post something if you said something really outrageous. But two, I think that a lot of times you're dealing with comics who are not used to dealing with hecklers. And, you know, the Michael Richards clip, you know, there's a guy who hadn't been on stage in a long time, letting go, because you get upset. And the key is you stay in control when they're out of control. So, I mean, I don't think, I couldn't imagine Steve doing something like that.
Well, not only do you stay in control, but also, like, the reason I would never say what Michael Richards said is because I would never think what Michael Richards said.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like, there's not a part of me that would ever see a bunch of black guys heckling me and be like, "I know, I'll use the N-word."
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know, you see them, and they're, like, to me, I wouldn't be like, "That's a bunch of black people heckling me." I'd be like, "Those are a bunch of assholes."
It's just a real jerk.
Right. Assholes know no color.
Correct. Well, I guess most assholes are brown unless they're bleached and then they're white, but that's a different thing.
I mean, these are important things to talk about, Jess.
We need to, Jessica's like, what have I gotten myself
we
into?
Need to work this out.
That's what she's thinking. All right, so what, you're the Hofstetter on YouTube?
Yeah, my YouTube is the Hofstetter because YouTube, unfortunately, made everyone's URL their username. So anyone who's, like, YouTube was popular, like, before you could choose your username, is stuck with that.
See, I don't have that problem.
So a lot of the biggest channels you'll see have, like, ridiculous logins, especially because a lot of these kids were younger.
Right.
I'm fortunate that at least, you know, when mine started, I was 27. So at least I wasn't, like, Twinkle Sparkle 69.
You were really bad.
And, Steve, do you have to bring up my YouTube name? I mean, really.
I'm just trying to plug it.
I want to know Jay's AIM address.
It was Slaughter Puppy.
What was your? This is a great. I would love to know this of everybody. What was your AOL address?
So I didn't have an AOL address, but I did the BBSs before the internet, and my login was really Slaughter Puppy.
Really? Because you don't like puppies, or you just thought I want to be provocative?
No, at the time. So right as I was logging in for the first time, I was in this phase where I was pretending to be a biker. And everybody, I would say, you know what, my biker name is Slaughter Puppy. And then people go, okay. And I go, no, no, isn't that an interesting character quirk of mine that I would do that? And they'd be like, not really. So when I logged in, yeah. I just chose Slaughter Puppy because it just coincided with a moment in time when I thought that was hilarious.
You do have issues.
You really do,
Jay.
At what point did I ever not?
Just 13 episodes in, I'm like, wow, I'm learning so
much.
There's so
many Jays we want to meet. We want to meet Drunk Jay. We want to meet High School Jay.
They're all really sad.
I want to meet Slaughter Puppy Jay. Slaughter Puppy Jay.
Every single one of them is complaining to Steve about how sad he is.
that was the most knowing laugh.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I was like, I'm going to change the subject before it gets too sad.
Right.
I had three different AIM names. My first one was Socks Hat, because I always used to wear a white Socks Hat. So that was a pretty simple one. My second one was Bueller 007, as a reference to my favorite movie and that moment where he goes Bueller, Ferris Bueller.
Oh, very nice.
Love it.
And then the third one was I wanted to do a pun on my name because I was in college and had gotten more mature.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to do a pun on my name, and I was Ace Up My Steve.
Wait, Ace Up My Steve.
Ace Up My Steve. I like that. Good.
I didn't realize how easy it was for people to make the joke that there's a Steve up my ace. So
yeah, I would have gone with the joke that if you knew somebody named Ace, that would be a very uncomfortable position.
Yes, fair. There is an Ace up my Steve. so those were, I think I would like to start a Facebook thread. I'm going to do that right after this podcast. I'm going to start a Facebook thread to see what everybody's AIM names were.
That's a good idea.
And then find out everybody's ASL.
Oh, absolutely. When I first started ASL, I was still on CompuServe, and my name on CompuServe. Was like 10387426.
This is so old school. We've gone way far beyond the millennial comprehension.
Well, I mean, in sixth grade was when I was using AIM. So
yeah, that was, you know, I was 26.
I don't know what that CompuServe is.
Steve, you're The Hofstetter on YouTube. Also, Steve Hofstetter for your gaming channel. And
what is the gaming channel again? Can you explain that?
So my gaming channel, I just do these fun little videos where I play Grand Theft Auto, and I take like, there'll be like minute or two clips, and then the thug character in Grand Theft Auto is named Franklin.
Oh, all right. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're playing it. I think that's cool.
And what
2 minutes is a good attention span.
Your Twitter handle,
right?
Steve is
at Steve Hofstetter.
At Steve Hofstetter.
At Steve Hofstetter.
And what are you up to now? 85 kajillion followers?
My YouTube is really where it's biggest. So my YouTube is 250,000 subscribers and 75 million views.
That's huge.
And that's what's been fueling the tour. It's been pretty cool. I actually just announced 128 city tour, and the way it works is we put 128 cities out, and you know, if you buy tickets and there's enough if we sell at least 50 tickets to any city, then that triggers the show. But it looks like we might trigger all 128.
I'd like to announce I'm playing the Stress Factory 128 times over the next year, so it's kind of the same thing.
I'd like to announce that the Stress Factory has never booked me, so let's see.
Wait a minute, really?
We know a guy.
We know a guy. Jessica, we know a guy. He is our sponsor.
Vinny Brand sponsors the show.
Vinny Brand Stress Factory sponsors us. Yeah, how about that?
I mean, I know Vinny. He's never brought me in.
We got to get you in there.
So let's do that. Because let me tell you, my open is awesome, Steve. Like, you got to come in just to see my open.
What?
he's been doing stand up, and he's got a bit about the size of his head, which, going back to the Barry Bonds thing, everything's coming full circle.
It's all coming together for you. Isn't it making sense? God. See that?
You like Barry Bonds just because
it's a head size issue.
He will have a bigger head than yours.
Yeah, that's it. Look, I'm a very basic person. That's it. Very simple.
Yeah, that's why I root for certain players, just to feel better.
Exactly. I'm not that complicated.
No. Steve, right, I want to say thanks for coming on. Yeah. This was awesome.
This is great.
You and Kevin Nealon, we have giant big guests on this show, and then sometimes we don't. We have nobody. And
sometimes it's just us.
Yeah, but these are the ones that make porn. It special.
Steve, thanks, well, man. Hey, so if we're going to talk to Vinny. Vinny's got to invite you. That's next.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm very proud of being the second most famous guest you've had on your show.
I think you potentially, with the millennial audience, you could be bigger than Nealon for sure.
No,
Jessica's nodding her head big time. Yeah, you're a bigger star on YouTube for sure.
Jessica's like, who's Kevin?
I have a bigger YouTube page than Kevin Nealon, but I can walk through an airport.
Yeah, but not. I mean,
that's an interesting thought.
Yeah, but so can Kevin Nealon.
Oh, jeez. He was a guest on our show, come Jessica. Come
he's
on.
He's a friend.
In an airport with Kevin Nealon, where I used I name dropped Jay Black as an excuse to say hello. And
did he punch you full in the face?
No. But he did apologize.
I'm sure he did. I'm sure he did.
It was the fact of the matter is that I mean, joke all you want, that dude is super talented and super famous.
Oh, he is, and honestly, not just because he's been on the show and he's a friend of mine, he is the only person that I've met who was famous when I met him, who was nice to me like I was a regular human being, and also followed through on everything that he said he would do, which most famous people do not do that, so... He's a fantastic guy and one of the best comics I've ever worked with. Maybe not as good as Steve Hofstetter, but one of the best comics I've ever worked with.
I mean, not as good as me on the other line, like on the other side of the line, because he's better than me. He's not the same level as.
No, we have so much fun. We gotta work together again soon, Steve. Please, let's hang out.
Absolutely.
All right, Steve. Thank you. We really appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, buddy.
Bye, guys.
All right, man.
Bye.
Good talking to you.
Bye, bye.
All right, it was the great Steve Hofstetter.
Steve Hofstetter.
He's fantastic. What a good guy.
Doing the show, staying on as long as he did. He's a great guy.
So let's talk to our sponsor, Vinny Brand, and get Steve invited to the Stress Factory. I think that's a sellout show, and I think what he said was so interesting that he can walk through an airport, but everybody on YouTube knows who he is.
Yeah, it's.
Think about that, right? Internet famous.
I think millennials don't have money to fly. They're buying avocado toast.
Because you wouldn't be able to pick them out of a crowd.
Well, I don't know. I did those viral Instagram twins, they tweet that they're going to LA and all the little girls drive to the LA airport meet them there.
Are the Instagram twins, are those the two fat guys on the scooters? Is that what you're talking about from the Guinness Book of World Records? Because they're my favorite set of twins.
I'm disappointed that I don't know what you're talking about.
You have to show Jay that segment.
Okay. Hang on, wait. Before we do anything, I got to read our thing.
Oh, yeah.
Because we actually have one more of these, and we made you wait the entire show to hear this. So, ha-ha on
Steve
you.
Steve was interesting.
Yeah, Steve's great.
Yeah.
But okay, here, let me just read it out here. Win a pair of Beats by Dr. Dre headphones from your podcast name here. That's us. That's Speaking Millennial at New Jersey 101.5. See the Beats contest at New Jersey NJ101.5. No, it's not NJ101.5. That would
be
an extra
dot. It's NJ101.5.com.
NJ101.5.com/contests. Find the box for episode 12 of your podcast, which is Speaking Millennial, and enter code No Muffin. One word. NOMUFFIN. Wait, did we already do that one?
We did do that one.
So that means we're done.
Well, do it anyway, and maybe you'll win.
Yeah, okay.
I don't really know how it works.
Yeah. We'll release more codes for chances in next week's episode number. Episodes of Speaking Millennial, Forever 39, The Jim Gerhart Show, and The New Jersey Guys throughout June.
All right.
I guess June's over, maybe. I don't know.
You know what? This is going to drop in July at some point.
Yeah.
Geller drops on Wednesday.
Yep. That's tomorrow.
And this will have two shows, and then.
No, this will drop the week after. So the first week of July.
This will be the first week in July.
This is the best way to celebrate your Independence Day.
Yeah. Listen to the podcast.
Write
it. Please comment.
I'm going to go the opposite way of a lot of news and advocacy programs, and I'm going to say try to set off as many fireworks in your hand as you can. It looks super cool.
Yeah.
Your kids will enjoy it, and if you're dumb enough to follow that advice, you don't deserve fingers.
That's a legitly statement you just made.
That's a big legitly. It's a bigly legitly statement. I need you to get this podcast, listen to it, rate and review us on iTunes, and listen to this podcast while you set off a Roman candle on your head.
Love it. And rate it and comment.
Even if you hate it. Rate it
even if you hate it.
That's right.
Love it. All right. I am Bill Spadia. Follow me at Bill Spadia on Twitter. Listen to me every morning, 6 to 10 a.m. on New Jersey 101.5, and watch me every night, 11 o'clock on My 9 and other assorted stations, Fox 5 in New York and Fox 29 in Philly with my colleague Jessica Nutt, who is at Chasing Jess Nutt.
Yep. I was ready with my finger on the stop button, but
you were.
Tweet me at Chasing Jess Nutt.
All right. And Jay, just don't worry about Jay. Just listen to him here.
Find me at a show and,
that's right.
And whisper in my ear your thoughts.
You'll pass him on the street. It's fine. All right.